All things are possible now that you're here. Jesus, you're here. Jesus, you're here. And all things are possible now that you're here.
Amen. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Gracious Father, we humbly and reverently approach Thee this morning, believing, Lord, that You are the same yesterday, today, and forever, believing that You came down with a shout in this hour, that You ordained a prophet, a vindicated prophet. You watched over him from the time he was a child. You've watched over us from the time we were children. And Father, we know that You've come to gather together Your elect to Your word. Help us then, Father, to recognize, O God, the word for this hour. Not only the word of the past generation, Malachi 4, Luke 17, 30, Revelation 10, but help us to recognize the word that is for Your bride. That's us, O God, in these late hour, this late time. The coming together of Your elect, the being transformed by the renewing of our mind, the being conformed to the image of the firstborn Son, manifesting that God life as sons of God and coming forth to our positioning and our being placed in the adoption of children by Jesus Christ. And may we be ready, O God. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. Wednesday evening we began the review of 23 sermons in a sort of a mini sermon that was preached during the Crisis and Mystery of God Revealed series. And we got through the first 10. This morning, we'll pick up at verse 11, and I would like to get through the next 13, but we won't make it. So this morning, we're going to begin at Crisis and Mystery of God Revealed number 79, Attributes of a Son of God number 11, and they are born of an incorruptible word. That's an attribute that each and every one of you have, truly as sons of God. Now here we use the text, 1 Peter 1:23, being born again, not of a corruptible seed, but of an incorruptible by the word of God which lives and abides forever. Now notice Peter mentions here that there are two kinds of being born again. One, he tells us, is born of a corruptible seed, which is a man's words, like all denominational so-called new births, where the person turns over a new leaf, but they have to do that from year to year, from revival to revival, from altar call to altar call. But Peter tells us being born again of an incorruptible seed by the word of God, which is being born of and by the word, which is a seed, the vindicated word, the revealed word seed of God. We then examined these two births and showed mainly how one is a corruptible seed resulting in a temporary birth, bringing forth a temporary life, one that doesn't last at all. It goes from revival to revival, from altar call to altar call, but the birth by the incorruptible seed is eternal. That life cannot die. It cannot fade away. It cannot diminish. It will last forever. Now, Brother Branham said in his sermon, Abraham, he said, if the seed goes into the ground and a grain of wheat, it cannot produce anything else but a grain of wheat. So if you go around and say, well, praise the Lord, I've been saved. I've got the Holy Ghost and living any kind of life. Well, you better back up to the altar again. Because the incorruptible seed of God cannot be one thing. And you cannot be a wheat and a cockabur at the same time. You've got to be either be a wheat or a cockabur. You all got cockaburs down here? All right. Well, greenbriars then. Ever what you want to call it, some other weed. You see, you can't be a weed and a wheat at the same time. If you got the spirit in you of the life of wheat, you'll produce wheat. If you got the spirit of you in the life of a cockabur, it'll produce cockabur. And if the Holy Ghost is in you, you'll believe God, you'll love God, and you'll act like a Christian. And remember, the word Christian means Christ-like. That's right. If it isn't, you'll know them by the fruits that they bear. Oh, what we need today is a good old-time Holy Ghost revival. What we need today is an old-time shaking again of the power of God, a moving of the mulberry bushes to go forward to battle again. God's giving the moving if people will just listen to it and believe it. The problem is they don't listen to it. I think you all know that in this hour, people are scrambling. They're doing things that they would never have done for 20, 30 years. They're looking for something else. Why? It's because they're not satisfied with the manna that God has given. Now, I want you to notice Brother Brown here is speaking of the law of life, which we see in Genesis 1:11. Every seed must bring forth after its kind. And all this tells us is that whatever the seed is, it has a certain life that has certain characteristics. And those characteristics are a part of that life. So whatever seed life you plant, what comes up will have to be have the same characteristics, the same nature, and actually then the same nature, the same character of the seed life that was planted. From his sermon, The Spoken Word is the Original Seed, Brother Branham said, what is it? It's the same seed. How can you plant wheat here and wheat here and say, well, I'm going to have cucumbers here and I'm going to have wheat over here? You can't do it. The only way that you're going to get cucumbers is to plant cucumbers. And if you hybrid it, then it won't be a cucumber. It'll be a hypocrite. Is that right? It'll be a hypocrite, friends. You've got to say it isn't either one. Isn't cucumber or what you bred it with, it's a crossbreed. And it is a bad product, and it's dead in itself. And it can't breed itself back no more. It's dead right there, back. It won't go no further. That finishes it. That's all. But if you want a cucumber, start with a cucumber. And if you want a church, start with the Word of God. And if you want a life of God, start with the Word of God. Amen. Accept the Word of God in its fullness, every measure of it, and then And if that is the fullness of God in you, then the rain that's falling will produce exactly what is in your garden. Remember, we preached that sermon called The Garden of Your Mind years ago? What, you know, words are seeds. Thoughts are seeds. You plant a thought in the mind and you water that, and that then there will result in action from your body of the thoughts that are in your mind. So if you got, and remember, when the sower went forth sowing, the Son of Man went forth sowing, he sowed the word, and then the devil came behind sowing his seed, which is false word, twisted word. Whatever one you water the most, that's what's going to come forth. So, incorruptible word seed will produce incorruptible word seed life. 1 Peter 3:4 tells us, but let it be the hidden man of the heart in that which is not corruptible, even the ornament of a meek and quiet spirit, which is in the sight of God of great peace. So the seed is planted in the heart. Notice, let it be the hidden man of the heart. The seed is planted in the heart. That is why Brother Brown said, I would rather your heart be right than your doctrine, because if your heart is right, then when you plant the doctrine in that heart that is right, the doctrine will produce the same life as the seed that was planted. But what if you got a wrong heart? Then the seed planted will not be intellectual. It will not be, it won't be. The seed planted will be intellectual seed with no life in it, and it'll produce intellectual life. Now, how many remember the parable in Matthew 13 of the seed being sown? Remember, some were planted on good ground, but the others were planted on stony ground and on the pathway and these different things, and they dried up, and we're going to go into that just a minute. But notice, if the heart is not tilled, in other words, if it's not a good heart, if it's not good soil, if it's hard and rocky, and you know, if the heart is hard, if the heart is hardened, when the word is planted on it, it doesn't change the heart. You got to change the heart first. From his sermon, Law Having a Shadow, Brother Branham said, for a grain of corn cannot produce a cocklebur, neither can cocklebur's produce corn. And if you're sowed with the incorruptible seed of God, born again of the Spirit of God, your whole motives, everything in your life goes towards God. In the days when Noah turned the crow loose, he was a bird set right in the ark, set in the ark right on the same floor with the dove. He could fly just as far as a dove could. He could make a noise just like the dove. But when they turned them loose, the crow was a scavenger. He could fly from one dead body to another to satisfy himself. But the dove could not satisfy herself. She flew back to the ark and pecked on the window until Father Noah opened the window. She was a dove. A dove is a bird that doesn't have any gall. It cannot digest rotten things. Remember, the crow was let loose and he didn't come back. He found floating bodies. He had plenty of food out there. But the dove couldn't eat that kind of stuff. And he's kind of given us an analogy of a Christian can't eat all that garbage that the world produces. Now notice how Brother Branham brings out the difference in the very nature and characteristics of the dove versus the crow, and shows how they would act differently, even though both sat in the same ark together. Both had wings. Both had feet. Both had beaks. Both had a head. Had a body. Had tail feathers. They all sat in the same pew, so to speak, the same ark. But their natures were different. You see? It doesn't matter how you look on the outside. Jesus said, he called the Pharisees hypocrites. He said, you're like whited sepulchres. You're white on the outside, but inside you're full of dead men's bones. From Iowa story, Brother Branham said, Jesus said, every word of God is a seed. Is that right? A sower went forth sowing seed. He said, I, the Son of Man, have sowed the seed, and the seed's the Word of God. And every time you see this Bible say anything, it's a seed. And it's absolutely, and we're sowed with the incorruptible seed of God. And if a man will take any divine promise of God in his heart and water it with faith, it'll produce just exactly what it said it would do. Amen. Don't care what it is, just take God's promise in your heart. And there. Now notice that the seed is sown in the heart, and it is in the heart that the life will come forth into manifestation first. Then when that which is in the heart overflows over into the body and becomes manifest outwardly, what is in the heart? In other words, Jesus said, as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. But out of the abundance of the mouth, the heart speaketh. So what's in the heart will come out of the mouth, it'll come out of the hands, it'll come out of your actions. See, that's why people don't understand the mark of the beast isn't some computer chip they put. The Bible says it's not on the forehead, it's in the forehead. It's in your thinking. And it's in your hands. It's in your actions. And, you know, that's why the mark of the beast is an organizational religion. It's dictated from the top. You will do this, 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 this. Everybody come in. I remember as a good Catholic boy, you know, the whole family, we're like the Von Trapp family. We'd come in one at a time. We'd genuflect, genuflect, genuflect. Show me that in the Bible. It felt good because you felt kind of religious doing it. That's not from God. It's just a tradition of man. Now in Matthew 13 and 8, he said, hear ye therefore the parable of the sower. When anyone hears the word of the kingdom and understands it not, here's the key. That's why I highlighted it. And you got it, okay. And understands it not, then cometh the wicked one and catches away that which was sown in the heart. This is he which receives seed by the wayside. But he that received the seed into stony places, the same as he that hears the word, and anon with joy he receives it. Yet because he has no root in himself, but endures for a while, for when tribulation or persecution arises because of the word, by and by he is offended. He also that receives seed among the thorns is he that hears the word, and the cares of this world and the deceitfulness of riches chokes the word, and he becomes unfruitful. He that receives seed into good ground is he that hears the word, notice, and understands it, which also bears fruit and brings forth some an hundredfold, some 60, and some 30. So we see the condition of the heart makes a big difference on your hearing, your recognizing, and your acting upon the word of God. Those who did not understand what they heard, the word seed life, ended up dying in that individual one way or the other. Excuse me. Either trials on one hand, or pleasures on the other. Notice, hardness on one side, pleasures on the other side. Hardness on one side, pleasures. They're both distractions. The devil can do everything he can in this hour to distract you from the promise that you have for this hour. And that's a body change. And that's being conformed in your soul, in your heart, in your being, to the image of the firstborn son. And that is to manifest that God life. He'll do everything he can, whether it's on this side or this side, whether it's on hardships or whether it's on pleasures. You see, those who did not understand what they heard, the word seed life ended up dying in that individual one way or the other, either trials on the one hand or pleasures and distractions on the other. That word died in them whether they had pleasures or no pressure or no pressure at all, because they did not understand the word that they heard. They heard, but they did not hear. They did not understand. And from his sermon, Seal of God, Brother Branham said, when a grain of wheat falls into the ground, no matter if that grain of wheat dies to itself, it can't produce a cockabur to save its soul. A grain of wheat will bring forth a grain of wheat, just as sure as anything. And if we are sowed with the incorruptible seed of God, how can it produce anything but a life of Christ's life? The Holy Spirit leading the church leads it in the power of the resurrection of Jesus Christ, and you're sealed until the day of redemption. That's the Bible. Grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby you're sealed until the day of your redemption, Ephesians 4:30. So we see the characteristic of the believer is that of the incorruptible seed. In other words, being incorruptible, it cannot perish. And we see in John 3:15-16, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. That life will not perish. That's the one you're taking with you to the other side. From Why Christ Speak, he said there's only one real church and you don't join it, you're born into it, see? And if you're born in there, the living Word of God, the living God works himself through you and makes himself known. See, that's where God dwells, in his church. God goes to church every day, just lives in church. He lives in you. You're his church. You are his church. You're the tabernacle that God dwells in. You are the church of the living God yourself. And if the living God lives in his living being, then your actions is of God. If it isn't, then it isn't in there. He wouldn't make you act like that when he says in the word here, this blueprint, don't do it, and you go and do it. See, that's wrong. When you deny it, then it shows the life isn't even in you. See, that's right. So when he that knoweth to do right and doesn't do it, the Bible says it's iniquity. From Why Christ Speak, he says, I think any man or woman, boy or girl, and I think in the intellectual conception of what they think, the word is, and so forth, never can have a full foundation stand until they have met the light that brings the word to a reality. I think no church in its practice, no matter how intellectual and fundamental it might be, that church cannot thrive until the supernatural is made known among the people. Now, the prophet's been gone for 50 years. And if the prophet had been gone for 50 years and you place it all into that man, then you've got to throw this word out, and this word is not eternal. You understand? Because it says the church cannot thrive until the supernatural is made known among the people and they see it. Something that they can talk to and talk, and that'll talk back to them. That vindicates this written word. That's why we don't go to prayer and just say, bless me, Father, I have sinned. My last confession was such and such and such. And we just don't say, you know, God bless mommy, God bless daddy. I mean, you can say that. But you better get down to the point where you're actually having communion. Can you imagine a husband and wife getting up, going to breakfast, and sitting there and having the same conversation every single day? Every time you talk, hello, honey, how are you? I'm fine, honey, how are you? If you have a good relationship, you have good communion. From Why Christ Speak. The real Christian believer today, no matter what the church says, what anybody else says, when that light strikes it, they see the very vindication of God, that pillar of fire hanging there, and the signs and wonders that's promised, the scripture being laid in it, it comes to life. No matter how little it is and how many in the minority, God's group has always been the minority. In fact, I have a study that I've been working on that where Brother Branham said, when he comes, this time is for a very, very small group. No matter how little it is and how many in the minority, God's group has always been in the minority. See, fear not, little flock. It's your Father's good will to give you the kingdom. See, they catch it. God is obligated to send them in from every denomination, every order, everywhere to see it if they are ordained to life. So you see, you cannot get around the fact that if you are lit up by God, you will do the works of Christ, and you will see the reality of the word as it vindicates itself in you and through you and the life that you're living. And you will not care whether the rest of the church sees what you're seeing or not. You see God's presence vindicated in your life, and you do not need others to see it to make you believe it. Their unbelief won't have any effect on your belief. I'm going to say these one more time. You see God's presence vindicated in your own life, and you do not need others to see it to make you believe it. Their unbelief won't have any effect on your belief. Too many times people, especially in the big churches, I'm not saying it doesn't happen in the small churches, but what I'm saying is too many times people under peer pressure, they go with the flow. If the pastor does a certain thing, the people do that certain thing. That's not right. you do what God tells you to do. When their eyes were opened, Brother Brown said, what is sin? It's unbelief. Smoking, drinking, committing adultery, lying, stealing, that's not sin. That's the attributes of sin. You do that because you're an unbeliever. If you was a believer, you wouldn't do that, see? Just because you quit drinking and quit smoking and quit drinking and committing adultery, that doesn't make you a Christian either. You're a Christian because you are a believer, see? You are a sinner because, see, you don't do the things that you ought not because the life that's in you makes you do it. A tree is known by its fruit. In other words, if you are filled with the Holy Ghost, you can't help but to be Christ-like. It's just a natural part of who you are. From Matthew 7:24, we read, therefore, whosoever hears these sayings of mine and doeth them, I highlighted that because that's what we need to understand, and doeth them, I will liken unto him as a wise man, which built his house upon a rock, and the rains descended, the floods came, the winds blew and beat upon the house, and it fell not, for it was founded upon a rock. And we know rock is revelation. Jesus said, Peter, thou art a rock, and upon this revelation, he said, you know, flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, Peter, but my Father, which is in heaven, has revealed this to you, and upon this rock I'll build my church. So the rains descended, the floods came, the winds blew and beat upon the house, and it fell not, for it was founded upon a rock. But everyone that hears these sayings of mine and doeth not them, or doeth them not, shall be likened unto a foolish man, which built his house upon the sand, and the rains descended, the floods came, the winds blew, beat upon the house, and it fell, and great was the fall of it. Notice the difference. One was wise, one was foolish. One did, one did not. One did because he had a revelation. The one that did not had no revelation. Now notice, to hear them and not do makes you just a fool. Foolish virgin. But to hear and do makes you a believer. And notice, the same test will come to both the fool and the believer. But only the believer will stand the test. But the test will be the undoing of the fool. Notice, this shows a difference between the wise virgin and the foolish virgin. They both heard the midnight cry, but one was ready while the other was not. One already did, and the other had to go and do. One already had the oil, one did not. One already did, the other had not done. So then it knew it had to go do, and it was too late. The wise showed action while the fool showed inaction. And that led us to Christ the Mystery of God, number 80. Attributes of a Son of God, number 12. They will echo God's word and echo Christ's life. We took our thoughts from paragraph 188 of Brother Ram's sermon, Christ the Mystery of God Revealed, where he said, by having the revelation of his secret made known to them by his grace, how the grace of God, people, I know it, I hope you don't think this sounds personal to a bunch of people or this, that, but the secret that God is sharing with the whole church, if they would just receive it, see, it doesn't mean just me or just you. It means the church that he's trying to get it into. And you say, well, why don't they receive it? They can't receive it. He said these things. And how could they? Because Isaiah said they can't see it. And so the scripture Brother Brown's referring to is Isaiah 6 and verse 9. And we read, and he said, go and tell this people, hear ye indeed, but understand not. And see you indeed, but perceive not. Make the heart of this people fat, and make their ears heavy, and shut their eyes, lest they should see with their eyes, and hear with their ears, and understand with their heart, and convert and be healed. Now we find Jesus himself quoting this from Isaiah in Matthew 13 and 10, and Mark 4 and verse 10. And the disciples came and said unto him, why do you speak to them in parables? Now notice here, the disciples couldn't understand why Jesus, when speaking to the others who were not his disciples, he seemed to speak to them using stories, parables. And so they said, why do you speak unto them? Them on the outside, in parables. And when he was alone, Mark 4 and 10, and when he was alone, they that were about with him, with the 12, asked of him the parable. And he said unto them, unto you it is given to know the mysteries of the kingdom of God, but unto them that are without, all these things are done in parables. They're on the outside. In Matthew 13:11, he says, he answered and said unto them, because it is given unto you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, but to them it is not given. Now notice, Jesus is talking about grace here. Unmerited favor with one group versus all others. And then in verse 12, he tells them something else that is most important in understanding why one group can understand while the other group cannot understand. He says, "For whosoever hath, to him shall be given, and he shall have more abundance. But whosoever hath not, from him shall be taken away even that which he thinks that he has." Now notice that Jesus says the reason why one group is given is because they hath, and therefore they have more abundantly, while the other group does not hath, and therefore those things that they think that they hath are taken away from them. Now the King James Version really messed up the translation of this verse, because it sounds like when you're reading this that certain ones are given because they already have. That's what it seems like in the way we would read it. And I have to admit, it sounds backwards to me. Should it not have been read, "The ones who have because it was given to them"? But still, that is not what this verse says at all. But if you think because you are good at the King's English and you can read your Bible, forget it. There must be revelation, or else one could read it and thus get it. And Jesus said they can read it, but they can't get it. But we know that unless you're born again, you cannot understand the things of God. That is what Jesus told Nicodemus in John chapter 3. He said, "Unless you're born again, you cannot see or understand the kingdom of God." And also in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, we understand that the Holy Ghost, you must receive the Holy Ghost in order to understand the things of God. But notice Jesus says, "You who hath," and that Greek word "hath" is echo. So what Jesus is saying is, "For whosoever is made of such a nature as to be able to echo, to him shall be given more. And he shall have more abundance, because whosoever is not made in such a way as to be able to echo, from him shall be taken away even that which he thinks he is echoing." Now remember, an echo is only repeating the same thing over and over again. So if you have it once, then as you echo it, you have it again and again and again and again, as many times as the echo reflects. Now, in other words, it takes a certain nature to be able to do that. As I said many times, the word echo doesn't mean if I say the same thing. It means if I say it the same way. If I say the same thing the same way, I can say, "Well, that woman, she's really beautiful." And, you know, that sounds like sincerity. It sounds like, you know, you really mean what you're saying. But if I say the same word, "That woman, she's really beautiful," I use exactly the same words, but it says to you just the opposite. It's the intonation. It's the spirit behind the words. Now, I hope you're getting what I'm talking about. The scripture speaks of the reason that they have more abundance is because they are able to echo what he said. And when you echo something, you have it not one time, but you have it over and over and over again, just like an echo does. Now, I hope you understand why Brother Vail said they got it, but they don't got it. Because even that which they think that they were echoing, they really were not echoing. They thought they had it, but they didn't have it. They thought they were saying it right, but they weren't. Therefore, unless you're born again, you will never understand this message. And therefore, how in the world are you going to be able to reflect it or echo it in your life or even manifest this word if you don't even have a clue what it is that you're supposed to be echoing? Now, forgive me for this. I told myself over and over again that I'm not going to try, I'm going to try to be nice, but I can't help it. When you speak the scripture is very plain. Scripture is scripture. When people can't even understand what it is that they're reading, how in the world are they going to be able to reflect it or echo it or manifest it in their life? Now back to Matthew 13 and 13. "Therefore speak I to them in parables, because they seeing, see not. And hearing, they hear not. Neither do they understand, and in them is fulfilled the prophecy of Isaiah, which saith, By hearing you shall hear, and shall not understand, and seeing you shall see, and shall not perceive." So there has to be a reason why two people can look at the very same word, hear the very same sermon, and get two different ideas of what it's all about. And he tells us in the next verse, "For this people's heart is waxed gross." Now the word translated "wax gross" was translated from the Greek word, which means to stupefy. These people's hearts have been stupefied. They've been dumbed down. They've become callous. In other words, their hearts have become hardened. And with a hardened heart, brothers and sisters, you will never make it. We had better become soft and supple in our hearts, or you're never going to finish this race. And Brother Branham said that what calluses our heart is the things of this world. Your focus is wrong. And that led us to Christ as a mystery, number 87, attributes of a Son of God, number 13. They will hold to the vindication above all other ministries. Now, the problem I've seen in this message is that people will hold to the word of their pastor or the word of a teacher and set aside what was given to us by a vindicated prophet, and that is totally wrong. In a sermon proving his word, Brother Branham said, now, it is possible that staunch Christians find people sometimes hold to the wrong thing, thinking that it's right. But then these things should be proven whether they are right or whether they're wrong. And it's the duty of all of us as we are expecting to go to heaven when Jesus comes, and it's the minister's duty when any question is brought up that he solves this out and then proves it before the people that they might understand, because no one wants to be found wrong, holding to the wrong thing. So we have a scripture, and Jesus said all scripture must be fulfilled, that we should prove all things and then hold fast or hold tight, get a death grip on it, and don't turn it loose, hold fast to that which is good. Now that's why I've been putting the quotes and the scriptures up here. Because apparently for years, without having them up there, the people just heard a drone up here. Just mum, 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 mum. They came to church and they walked out no different. But they say when you hear something, you only retain, if possible, actually when you read something, you only retain about 20%, but when you hear it and read it, you retain a lot higher percentage. Now, from trying to do God a service, Brother Bram said, the vindicated word of the day of Isaiah, of Elijah, of John, all was Jesus. And the vindicated word today is Jesus. The same yesterday, today, and forever. Help us, Lord, to believe that, to see that, and to walk in it. We ask it in Jesus' name. So how people, like I heard one fuss over the weekend, somebody sent me some things that were being said about Brother Branham. Where Brother Branham in the sermon, The Masterpiece, Marriage and Divorce, he made some very cutting comments about unregenerated women. And they said, well, that's just terrible. You know, Jesus would have never talked to them that way. Jesus took the woman who was a prostitute and he forgave her, and it was the prostitute, that met him at the grave. I mean, my goodness, Jesus, he never had any bad words. And I said, well, Jesus told the woman, the Samaritan, she kept calling out, and he said, woman, he said, it's not meet to feed the dogs the children's bread. He called her a dog. You know what she did? She didn't get upset. She didn't say, well, I've got a woman's right. You're a man. That's words that, if you were God, you wouldn't talk to me that way. No, she said, that's right, Lord. But the dogs do eat the bread from the master's table. And Jesus caught that woman's ability to take a rebuke and say, this is a child of God. And he gave her what she came looking for. In Hebrews 4:14 we read, seeing then that we have a great high priest that has passed into the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession. Hold fast our profession. Hebrews chapter 4, Brother Branham said, seeing that we have this great high priest, reading the same scripture, that has passed into the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our confessions. Hold fast. That don't mean just keep testifying. See, that's the problem. People think, well, if we get together and talk the word, that's it. That's not it. That should be a beginning for you, but that's not it. He says, if you don't live the life, you don't hold it fast. You're living a hypocritical thing. You'd better be on out and just say that you're a sinner and forget about it. Don't profess to be a Christian and live something else. You're the biggest stumbling block the world has ever had. If you're a sinner, admit it and go on. Get right with God. But if you're a Christian, hold fast your confession. Stay there. In other words, live it. 2 Thessalonians 2:15 says, therefore, brethren, stand fast and hold the traditions which have been taught, whether by word or our epistle. Now, I don't know why they chose to use the word tradition when they translated this from the Greek word paradosis, because it actually means transmission, not tradition. Hold fast the transmission, which is precepts and principles, which you have been taught, whether by word or whether by epistle. Was it transmitted by word, or was it transmitted by written epistles? Hold fast those precepts that were transmitted. Hold fast those principles. That's what Paul's saying. That's some tradition. John said, you know, by their traditions, they make the word of God of none effect. In Q&A on Genesis, Brother Branham said, now, if you want to know, how many would like to know what the Christian rest is? Say amen. Now, you can mark it if you want to. Isaiah 28. He said, precept must be upon precept. Precept speaking, precept upon precept, line upon line, here a little and there a little, and hold fast to that what's good. The prophet speaking of the time coming about rest and Sabbath. Now read the whole chapter, you see. He's saying times there when the Sabbath will be done away. And they'll sell shoes on Saturday and the same as they did it on Monday and whatever more, you see, said, when will this sign be? He said, precept must be upon precept, line upon line, here a little, there a little. Hold fast to that was good. For with stammering lips and with other tongues will I speak to this people, and this is the Sabbath, the rest, that I said that they should enter into. And for all of this they hardened their hearts and they wagged their heads and they rejected it. Where does the rest come from? It comes from hearing a vindicated word. You know why? Because when it's vindicated, it's settled. God has already proven that it's right. You see, there can be no rest unless you have a vindicated word to stand on. And that led us to Christ the mystery of God, number 90. Attributes of a Son of God, number 14. They are obedient only to the word. 2 Corinthians 10, verse 5 to 6 says, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ, and having in a readiness to revenge all disobedience when your obedience is fulfilled. And from God's only provided place of worship, Brother Brown said, now the word Deuteronomy, the word means itself two laws, the word Deuteronomy. And God has set two laws, the two laws. One of them is disobedient to the word and you die. And the other is obedience to the word and you live. That's the two laws. Deuteronomy means two laws. They have both been absolutely displayed to us in the scripture. One of them is death. The other one is life, life and death. God deals only in life, Satan only in death. And these was displayed to the world publicly, openly before every eye, and there's no excuse for it. All you have to do, and you young people, read Deuteronomy 28. Just read Deuteronomy 28. 1 through 15 is the blessings of God. If you honor me, if you obey me, if you hearken, which means to pay a close attention to the voice of the Lord your God, you'll be blessed coming, you'll be blessed going, you'll be blessed in your job, you'll be blessed in the market, you'll be blessed in your pantry. In other words, your pantry doesn't go empty. You know, all these blessings come upon you. Your children will be blessed. Your lives will be blessed. But then verse 15 says, but if you fail to hearken, pay close attention to me, you'll be cursed coming, you'll be cursed going, you'll be cursed in your pantry, you'll be cursed in your job. You know, just all these curses will come upon you. And we see that's where the United States is right now. That's where the world is right now. They turn down the voice of the Lord their God. In Acts 5 and 32 we read, and we are his witnesses of these things, and so is also the Holy Ghost, whom God hath given to them that obey him. God has given them that obey him. You see, obedience is better than sacrifice. God of this evil age, Brother Brown said, but in obedience this little faith woman that lives by faith, the bride, the person here, there, here, off somewhere else, some other church, some other denomination, whatever it is, and some believes the word of God. Obedient. Waiting in love for the promise of the age to be confirmed. She's watching for it. She is part of that word, and she's watching for her life to manifest that word. Now, what promises do we have left for us in this hour besides a catching away and a change of the body? We have been conformed to the image of the firstborn son. And he says they're watching for it to be manifested in their body. So I ask the question. You might have seen it manifested in William Branham. Do you see it manifested in you? Are you watching for your life to be conformed to the image of Jesus Christ? Not only that you see it in your life, but others will see it in your life as well. She's watching for it. She's part of it. And she's watching for her life to manifest that word. Brethren, can't you see that? I hope that didn't go over you. The body is waiting for, which is the word, waiting for the life, which is the spirit, to confirm or make it alive. That's what she's waiting for. No other life will work in her. She can't come to life in any other way. Yet she feels it out there, and she knows it's going to happen. Then here it happens. Then she wakes up. God said, let there be. And she came forth like the first one come forth. Just like Mary. When the Holy Ghost came and overshadowed Mary, she didn't fuss with the angel. When the angel said, the Holy Spirit has overshadowed you, and you, being a virgin, will bring forth the Son of God. She said, I don't understand how this can be. But nevertheless, be it unto me according as you have said it. Now, we don't understand how we're to be conformed to the image of the firstborn Son. But be it unto me according as you have said it. We don't know how we're going to be placed positionally in the body. But be it unto me according as what you have ordained for me. We don't know how we're going to be manifested sons, but be it unto me according to what you have spoken. See? Hebrews 5:8-9. Though he were a son, yet he learned obedience by the things which he suffered, and being made perfect, he became the author of eternal life, of eternal salvation unto them that obey him. Notice, obedience led to being made perfect. It says obedience first, being made perfect. From the token, full obedience to the full word of God entitles us to the token. No other way is there that you can ever be entitled to the token until you fully obey the word. Not what somebody else puts into it and added to it, but what God said about it. Now listen, we have too much flim-flamming going on. He's saying full obedience to the full word of God entitles us to the token. Well, if God don't forgive that, what can he forgive? That's not full obedience to the word. The Bible says don't do it, you don't do it. From the token, full obedience to the word brings God, the word eternal, in you. And that is the token. When the word is in you, it's Christ in you. Now notice, then when we pray, if we have the token, and when we pray we have the token, we present our token with our prayer. I believe when this little group of people and those listening to this ministry and around the world, wherever the bride would be, when she begins to recognize that when she goes to God in prayer and she says, Father, I have your spirit. I know it. I know that it is you working in me, both to will and to do. And I am coming not because my name is Brian, or my name is Derek, or my name is Steve. I'm coming to you in the name of Jesus, which you have given me, because you said the whole family of God is named Jesus. It's our last name, I guess. That's what the Bible says. But I'm coming to you in the name of Jesus. I'm coming to you with your Holy Spirit, speaking out through me, because this brother over here, he has a need. As we prayed for Brother Bob Carr in Australia, he had a stroke a couple years ago. He's been paralyzed partially in his body. Doesn't have full functions in his body. They wrote last night, I went before God, and I put it down as our prayer list today. But that God believing, and when we pray, we say, Father, this is your spirit speaking out for this brother. He's a good brother, Lord. But he's being hindered in his ability to worship thee and to communicate your word and to live your word by his body being paralyzed. He wants full fellowship. And so, Father, hear your own words back to you. In fact, that's what I learned years ago from Brother Vail. He said, when James says you receive not because you pray amiss, it means you must pray according to the word of God to get your answers. If you find anybody in the Bible was God answered a certain prayer that they had a certain way, then you're entitled to that same receiving of the same answer as they were because God's not a respecter of persons. So when you have scripture for your Bible, or when you have Bible for your prayer request, you go to God and say, Father, your word says. Like years ago when I didn't have a wife, and I began to pray and I said, Lord, you said that he that getteth a wife getteth a good thing. And you also said that you would not withhold any good thing from those who serve you and who fear you. And I do fear you, Lord, and I serve you. And so I'm asking you to do what you said that you would do. And like within a month, I met my wife. That's just the way God answers his prayer. From the token, he said, full obedience to the whole word of God entitles you to the token and nothing else. Blessed is he that does all his commandments, that he might have a right to the tree of life. Then when we pray, we must have the token to present with our prayer. What is the token? It's Christ in you. Then when we pray, we must take the token to present with our prayers. Now don't fail to get that. When you pray, you must have the token to hold over your prayer. And if you're not, you pray until the token comes. In other words, if you don't have the token to hold over your prayer, you pray and pray and pray. And don't get up until you do get the token. Like the old color man, he said, Brother Ram talked about, he said, he was a farmer. And he got down and he got on his knees. He said, you know, God, he said, I'm not going to leave here until you fill me with your spirit. And if you don't fill me with your spirit, you're going to find a pile of dead bones in this place. Don't let the distractions come in and distract you from receiving the promise for this hour. Our obedience to the word will manifest through us just as it did the firstborn son. And that led us to Christ's mystery number 92, attributes of the Son of God number 15. They love God and his word because our evidence that we love the Father is our obedience to him. Jesus himself said in John 14:31, but that the world may know that I love the Father, and as the Father gave me commandment, even so I do. Arise and let us go hence. The word doesn't know that you love God because you can talk the word. If they see a hypocritical life, they say, well, that guy's just a hypocrite. But when they see your life in obedience to the word, then the world knows that you love God. In 1 John 15:10, he says, if you keep my commandments, ye shall abide in my love, even as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things have I spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you, and that your joy may be full. Therefore, the proof of our love for our Father is that we obey his commandments of what he asks us to do. Then, seeing this attribute in the Son of God, let us look to the word of God to see how the same attribute is displayed in other sons. In 1 John 2:3-11, and hereby we know that we know him, if we keep his commandments. He that saith, I know him, and keeps not his commandments, is a liar, and the truth is not in him. But whoso keepeth his word, in him verily is the love of God perfected. Hereby know we that we are in him. He that saith, he abideth in him, ought himself also to walk, even as he walked. So if you talk one thing and walk another, there's nothing there. And that is exactly John 14:12. The things that I do shall you do also. Notice, he that saith he abideth in him ought himself also to walk even as he, Christ, walked. That's John 14:12. So in keeping God's word alive in our walk actually perfects the love of God in our lives as well. From a sermon, Jehovah Jireh, Brother Brown said, God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. Now look, not that God had to do it, but because that God did do it, and when God's love was projected, sovereign grace had to produce the object that his grace was projected to, or his love projected. And when you will love God and believe God, grace will project the object that you ask God. Let me say this again because this is very important. When you will love God and believe God, grace will project the object that you ask God. So love him that you believe his word and accept his word, then grace, sovereign grace, will come down and project what you ask God, because he can't keep it from you. That's the basis that it's on, is love. And love will project grace, and grace will project the object that you're asking for. You can't get it by emotions. You can't get it by scholarship. You'll never get it by education. You'll never get it by sensations. You get it by love. You believe him and take his word for it. And when you take his word, that makes him love you, and you get what you asked for. Jesus said in John 14, verse 15, if you love me, keep my commandments. In other words, your actions will prove your love. And Brother Branham said in his sermon, Why Some People Can't Keep the Victory, he said, when you love God so much, sovereign grace will project to you the baptism of the Holy Ghost to make you live and love and be a real Christian. Now look how simple it all is. Jesus told us in John 14, verse 23, 24, Jesus answered and said unto them, If a man love me, he will keep my words, and my Father will love him, and we will come unto him and make our abode with him. He that loves me not, keeps not my sayings. And the word which you hear is not mine, but the Father's which sent me. And in learning how important it is to love God by loving his word, let us look at another aspect of this love. In Christ the Mystery of God, revealed number 93, attributes of Son of God, they love God's appearing, which is his presence. In other words, how can you love God and his word and not love his presence? 1 Timothy 4 and 8. Henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day, and not only to me, but unto all them that also love his appearing, his parousia. Now this ought to tell you how important the parousia or the appearing of the Lord is to us. For God himself let us know that there is a crown of right wiseness that awaits all those who love his appearing. And in this sermon, we looked into the importance of loving the appearing. In fact, Brother Brown defined the appearing to us when he said from the message from that time, he said, how many knows that there's a difference between the appearing of the Christ and the coming of Christ? There's two different words. Now's the appearing. The coming will soon be. He's appearing in the midst of us doing the works that he once did in his church. And then in the same breath, just after he said that, he also said these most notable words. He said, and my ministry is to declare him. That he is here. So we find two things there. Number one, to declare Christ. And number two, to declare his presence among us. We read in Isaiah 63 and verse 9, in all their affliction, he was afflicted. Now listen to this. God who is sovereign, God who is omnipotent, omniscient, God who is spirit being, he said, in all their affliction, he was afflicted. And the angel of his presence saved them. In his love and in his pity, he redeemed them. And he bare them and carried them all the days of old. Isn't that beautiful? In all of our affliction, he also was afflicted right along with us. Like he said to Paul, Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? And Saul said, well, who are you, Lord? What am I persecuting you? How am I persecuting you? And he said, I am Jesus of Nazareth, whom you persecuted. For whatsoever you have done unto the least of these, my children, you've done it unto me. So he is here through our tough times, and he promised to never leave us nor forsake us. That led us to number 95, attributes of the Son of God, number 17. They cannot be deceived concerning the word of God. Now on the one hand, those who love God and his word receive the same love from God in them, and it overflows and reflects out from them, or as Brother Branham called it, the projecting of love. But what if the people do not love the truth, the word of God? What then? Well, in this sermon, we examined this from 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, because it says they loved not the truth. Now, let me read it from the Weiss translation, which says, 2 Thessalonians, it says, of every kind of wicked deception geared to the gullibility of those who are perishing. This gullibility being caused by the fact that they did not accept the love for the truth to the end that they might be saved. And because of this, God sends a deluding influence resulting in their believing the lie in order that they all might be judged who did not believe the truth but took delight in wickedness. And Brother Brown taught us that the lie is the same one that was told to Eve. From the first seal, he said, for the mystery of iniquity doth already work. He's reading 2 Thessalonians 2. Deceivers, you see, deceiving the people off into something else, see. Only he, God, that letteth, will now let until the church, Christ, the bride, be taken out of the way. And then shall the wicked one be revealed. At the breaking of the seal at this time, Paul said, not in my time, but in the time when he'll be revealed. See, whom the Lord shall consume with the spirit of his mouth. We're going to get to that after a while. The spirit of his mouth. Now watch what that is. And shall destroy with the brightness of his coming, even him whose coming is after the working of Satan. Him. It's a man. whose working is after the working of Satan with all power and signs and lying wonders, see, and with all deceivableness of unrighteousness, deceiving people by unrighteousness, in them that perish, not this bride, in them that's looking for such a thing, because they receive not the love of the truth, and Christ is the truth, and Christ is the word, but they'd rather have a creed, that they might be saved. And for this cause, God shall send them strong delusion, that they should believe a lie. It should have been translated here, as I looked at it in the lexicon, the lie, not a lie, but the lie. Same one that was told Eve, that they might be damned who believed not the truth, but had pleasure in unrighteousness, had pleasure in an unright wise thinking. Now notice, only those who love God, who love his word, will not be deceived. And look at the great falling away. It shows that these people have not loved God because they have not loved his word. Like Brother Bram said, they love their creeds more than they love God and his word. And John said, if you love God, prove it by loving his children. They don't love his children. They call them all kinds of names and everything else. They don't need to do that. If a person doesn't believe the message, just leave. They don't have to put up websites to find all kinds of criticisms and try to detract other people from believing. I don't understand that philosophy. Brother Bram, you know, I just don't understand that philosophy. I don't. You know, if I didn't believe this message, I'd just leave it alone. I'd just go. I wouldn't fight it. I wouldn't fuss with it. What's there to fuss with? Either it's right or it's wrong. If it's wrong, then just let it alone. If it's right, then you find yourself fighting against God. That's exactly what Gamaliel told Paul. He said, Paul, he said, what are you fussing for? What are you fighting for? He said, if this thing be of God, you're going to find yourself fighting God. Too arrogant. People are too arrogant today. I've seen some of these things these people are so offended about, and some of it is what Brother Brown said in Marriage Divorce. I already covered that. But Jesus said, blessed is he that's not offended in me. Now, from trying to do God a service without it being his will, Brother Brown said, the vindicated word of the day of Isaiah, Elijah, and John and all was Jesus. We already read this, but I'm going to read it again. And the vindicated word today is Jesus. The same yesterday, today, and forever. Help us, Lord, to believe that, to see that, and to walk in it. We ask it in Jesus' name. If people could not see Jesus Christ in this message and in the man William Branham, they cannot see Christ. They never will see Christ. And if these people would believe that, they wouldn't be looking to find fault. And the reason they look to find fault is because they do not love his appearing. So what's left according to the word of God is only deception for them, and the deception will be geared to their gullibility, to those who are in the act of perishing. The scripture says, and this is the condemnation, that light is come into the world, and men loved darkness rather than light, and they won't come to the light. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Gracious Father, we're thankful, Lord, for your word. I know we covered an awful lot of thoughts this morning, Father, but they all lead to one thing, and that is our love for what you're doing for us. Our love for you, our love for your word, and Father, and a projecting of that love. Help us, Lord, to be everything that you intended for your bride to be. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen. Well, the Lord bless thee and keep thee. May the Lord make his face shine upon thee. Wednesday night, 7:30.